Hi, I'm Jeevan, and I'd just like to officially introduce you to the British podcast, in which myself and my co-host Afra share our experiences about different topics and issues facing our society from our perspective and give our views as young British people. I'd just like to make a quick disclaimer. Any kind of negative racial language used in these podcasts are purely for educational and exemplar purposes. We're all about promoting positivity, and we're just here to shed light on some really important subjects that are very important to us and that we feel need to be discussed. So thank you, and we hope you enjoy the episode.
Hi, welcome back to the British podcast with Jeevan Kennedy.
Hiya, Afra here. We're talking about, drum roll please, we're talking about coronavirus in terms of discrimination and how that has affected different groups of people. And we have Owen on today to kind of share some personal experiences and just talk about the topic with us. So Owen, for to introduce yourself?
Yeah, no. Hi, I'm Owen. I'm 18. I go to Mayfield Grammar School for Girls and I play guitar, I guess.
Lovely stuff.
Oh, lovely stuff. So just, you know, to start off, how have our weeks been? Have we been doing all right?
Yeah,
I've had a nice week. This weather is lovely. The weather is making it better.
I've just been indoors, just chilling on my computer, just playing games, just killing That's time fine. Essentially.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing else to do. Are you doing A levels, or what's going on with school?
A levels. I've got music, psychology, and biology, and I'm pretty sure at this point we all know that essentially the schools are giving us grades. So
Sometimes. So just to kind of get the ball rolling and stuff, we're going to be talking about a rise in Asian discrimination in light of the coronavirus. So Owen, do you want to maybe tell us about your experiences with anti-Asian discrimination? And
That's fine. Like, I recall, like, sometime last week, I remember walking down to Valley Drive to get some money for my dad, because he's 72. He can't go out. I don't want him going out either. He's at risk. And I'm just like, no, Dad, you're not going out. And he still goes into the garden, which is really stubborn of him. But so I go down there. I'm walking, and I notice people's looks. Like, you know that feeling where you can tell that people are looking from behind or whatever? It's that kind of look. And whenever I made eye contact with you, they either look away really quickly, or they just like pretend, like try and intimidate me or something.
Yeah, it's really suspicious. Weird. Like, you kind of know what you're doing.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not dumb. I can tell what you're doing. I know what your intentions are, right? And I mean, it's not fun. Just like, kind of knowing what people think, kind of like seeing people have prejudice against you because you being Asian, for example, like me being Asian in this case, like, It's not okay. Like, they can't judge me because of something that happened in China. Yeah, it came out in China, but I'm not Chinese, right? I've never been to China. Exactly, right? And like, you still can't discriminate people because they're Chinese either. It's not it's not fair on them. So I recall, like, one of my friends, when she was she talked about one of the Filipino doctors in the hospitals that near her. People have stopped seeing her. Well, that doctor, because he's Asian, and they're just like, oh no, we don't want to see him, and that they just go about the days without it, so they're going untreated or whatnot because they're scared of the virus.
Ignorance, it's horrible.
Like, you're refusing medical treatment because someone is Asian. It's ridiculous. Like, you are sense. Coming to the doctor, and then you're now refusing treatment because of the way this person looks or their race.
Exactly. It doesn't make sense to me. It's like, They're doctors, first off. They know how to keep clean. They know how to be hygienic. And you're still refusing medical treatment from them because of their race.
So have you noticed a change in people's attitudes towards people of Asian backgrounds, like, since coronavirus? Or has this been something that you've noticed, like, for a while?
I mean, it's been like this for a while, but like, I think it started off in a joking way when it wasn't really that big. Because I recall walking home from school with a friend, and like, someone, I can't remember who, I don't remember like where what school they went to. So they looked at me and started coughing in like a joking way. And I was like, you serious? So I think initially people took it as a joke. But then because it's already been a joke, they could, they've laughed at it. They're taking, they're just using that as an excuse to laugh.
I sort of like it's casual racism. And now it's like fear mongering. And it's like, not aggression, but it's more like, like I don't like you because of this. You're this, like this is more blatantly racist.
Yeah, no, like I recall, it was on the news a while ago where an Asian guy in London was attacked because he's Asian. Because people are ignorant and just think that he's Asian, we don't want your coronavirus or whatnot.
But as you say, there are, there have been a lot of examples of a rise in discrimination against Asian people in light of the coronavirus, not just in the UK. It's a massive issue in America. I think I saw a statistic that said there have been over 1,000 cases of it in America. So it is becoming a real problem. So this kind of poses the question of why do we think this is happening? So do we think it might be the nature of a situation like this where it's, where it's a coronavirus, it's a global pandemic, it's new, it's unprecedented, it's scary. Do we think that this has something to contribute to it?
I think it's like mainly people finding something or someone to blame. Because it's worse when you have a problem that has no kind of cause, and so there's no face to the problem. So then they don't know how to face the problem, so they just like use it as a scapegoat, I suppose. So, and then just blame Asians for the coronavirus.
But the thing about coronavirus is that it did originate in China, but viruses pop up everywhere. Like we see it with the Ebola virus outbreak a couple years ago. People were, you know, there was a rise in anti-black sentiment, and it happens with, I don't know, Spanish flu, and people were, didn't like Spanish people for a bit. But I think it's also, it's a weird situation because coronavirus, everyone's kind of scared, and that's sparking irrationality and panic, which like prompts things like panic buying. And not that I'm trying to justify this in any way, but in the minds of people who already have the mindset of, oh, I'm white and I don't like Asian people, or I'm whatever and I don't like Asian people, it's kind of like a catalyst, if that makes sense. Like it sparked it. There's this,
it's like justification. They can now say, oh, well, these people are backwards. I'm like, oh, this is proof of it because so-and-so were doing this, that and that, and that's how the coronavirus started. Like it's a way of dehumanizing people because then they can justify it. Like you could, people can say though, like, they don't like black people, they say they're dirty or things like that, and they could be like, oh, but look at Ebola, that came from a West African country, and because of this, that and the next, that's showing, that's proving that they are dirty, that they are this, that and the other. So I think that is kind of that justification that certain people need to really be like loud and proud about their views. And it's giving them like the opportunity to feel like, oh, I can say this, because especially if you've got like Donald Trump saying it's a Chinese virus, like people, they're just adding like fuel to the fire. And it's meaning that people think it's okay to say these things.
I think also on the point of political figures, when we talk about Trump using the term Chinese virus to describe it, which is just sparking hate and creating a divide as well. When we consider in the UK, we've got people like Boris Johnson and Dominic Raab who are using battle-like language. We're battling this virus, we're going to win. And Donald Trump uses it as well. I think it's like it sparks aggression. People battle implies that there's control in a situation like this. There's no control. We can't blame a particular person or a particular group of people. And just using this aggressive language is further causing a divide and further accommodating those hateful mindsets and those hateful comments and stuff.
And it gives you an enemy. Like, if you say we're fighting, it's a battle, I'm going to then see this as a fight that's got to be won, and that I'm in the right and they're in the wrong, and the reason why this is happening because of someone's backwards culture. And I think, like, there are loads of things we do in this country that are different, But like the way they do things in other countries, people are very quick to say like, oh, this is da 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 da. Like I know a loads of things people do in Sierra Leone that people over here would think is like so weird and so odd, like the food people eat and the way people are, they would think it's so backwards, but it's their culture and it's how it happened. It's just that unfortunately these things do happen, but it's unfair to demonize a whole culture and their way of living because of it. I'm not saying like the wet markets, that's where it came from. I don't think that's right. I just think that they have a culture of eating these type of animals and things like that. Maybe if there's more regulations and it's not a wet market, because a wet market is literally you're stacked up one what animals are stacked up on one another and everything kind of like all the horribleness drips down and that's where the diseases come from. So if they can do what they want with what they want, because that's their culture, that's how they're raised, I respect that. I just think that it's not a sanitary way that that's happening, and people are able to have these conversations without being like, oh no, they're dirty. And just like completely dismissing the whole thing and saying, oh no, that's backwards, that's so old fashioned, when really, like, it's just the way that their culture is.
I think it does just kind of worse. Sorry.
No, carry on. No, I was going to say, like, going back to the political figures, the fact that they are, like, huge figures in the media, that can give, that's like a domino effect where it gets just one person that says it, then two, then four, mm-hmm. then 8 and 16, then it just multiplies continuously. And then you've got like a massive army of people who believe what, well, see it as a battle and want to put the blame on other people.
That is such a good point. Again, it goes back to the whole idea of we need someone to blame. Like, you know, after 9/11, people were blaming Muslim community, like people from the Muslim community, even people from the Sikh community were being attacked for that. And I think that's a really good point about the domino effect. Like, I feel like in the last couple of years, we've seen a rise in backwards. Like, you know how people, we've moved forward as a society, like legalizing gay marriage and being more inclusive. I feel like we're taking steps back currently. And that could be due to the rise of people like Donald Trump and Boris Johnson, who are telling these people, it's okay to make jokes about this. It's okay to hate this kind of person. It's just horrible how it has that effect in our society. I think also bringing it back to the point of, no, say on, forget what I said. So how do you guys think the news has reacted? Do you think they've reacted appropriately?
I think they've blown out of proportion, haven't they? Like, they've said, oh, this is how many people have died, but then they kind of gloss over the fact that the recovery rate is insane.
People are saying like fear-mongering in the news, in media, is a big thing, because that's like making people panic, especially like panic buying, because you could say like 100 people died but 900 people survived. I mean, that's not exact, but like it's kind of things like that.
So
I think that it's important to show that there's one side but there's another side as well, that's a positive.
The media is like continually failed to show both sides of the story in multiple different examples, I think. I just can't think of any right now. It's just a general thing that's with the news.
It's just like it doesn't seem like good news. It's always bad news.
It's because it's breaking news. They want to get the headline, they want to get more profit because they've got the biggest story. That's all that matters. It's not like the actual truth.
And it's sad that like the biggest stories can be ones of, I saw this one about like a 13-year-old child died of coronavirus, like that's, and they put like blast up on the front page, whatever, but then they also, on the other hand, there was a 95-year-old woman who recovered. So like these shocking stories of young children dying of the disease is being blasted everywhere, but it's a minority. It's sad, but it's a minority, and like that will make me as a parent terrified that if, you know, we started off seeing as only old people, then it's vulnerable people as well, and then I'm seeing that children are dying from it, that would scare me so much and lead me to do irrational things. So I don't think it's necessarily fair on the public to kind of put out this message like, oh my god, look how bad this is getting, this is happening. So yeah, it's not fair, it's just making people scared.
Fear mongering is something the news has like kind of always done, I think.
But so we've talked about maybe the causes of the rise in discrimination at the moment. What kind of things do you guys think that we could do to maybe prevent this as young people? What do you think we can do to encourage this? Not to encourage it. Oh, my God. What do you think we can do to encourage inclusivity and to encourage positivity?
I think talk about experiences. If you talk about how, like, Owen, like, you spoke about experiences that you have, you're telling people how you felt about this and how you think it's wrong. And it's kind of like putting a face to the story, because I could hear, like, oh my God, so-and-so down the road, this happens to them because they were Asian. If I'm seeing someone that I know and I know they're talking about this story, it's going to hit me more to home. And that might be something that, like, the ignorant people need to kind of think, like, oh, actually, this is affecting this person in this way. So I think talking about it and dispelling the nonsense in the news, like getting professionals to get up and explain to people what is happening and how it's happened and how it's not completely backwards and it's not the fault of Chinese people. Mm. So I think things like that will be so useful, educational tools. So I think sharing and education, that's my one.
Mm. I think as well, because people are talking about, was it a couple of weeks ago on Question Time, and Lawrence Fox was talking about how Britain isn't a racist country, but people like to play off that racism isn't a big deal anymore because coloured people have rights and because blah blah blah, we're all equal and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And there's no such thing as white privilege. But it is shocking to find out, like, I mean, I've learned so much about racism through my mum and my aunts and my cousins, people who have been born in this country and have lived here for most of their lives, and how horribly they have been treated by people they've grown up with and people they work with. It really is quite eye-opening, and it really can teach you so much if you just listen to the experiences that people have regarding racism, and you really realise that it still is a very prevalent issue that needs to be taken a lot more seriously.
Definitely. Yeah, no, like, one of the things that I've had when I've, like, gone out and socialised, like, play football down the park, for example, like, I'm, from what I remember, there's not many other Asian people here, like who played football there, right? And let's say I gone in and argued with one person. The first thing they would say is chink. The first thing. They already have it prepared in their head. And I don't understand why that's their first thought when they could actually go through the argument properly and, like, at least give them their point. Because once I, like... give them my point, they're just like, okay then, chink, whatever you say, and they just play it off as if it's nothing. It's like, it happens everywhere, it happens to so many people on tiny scales, but, like, the issue is that it happens a lot everywhere.
We've all three of us are 18. We're three different types of minority, and we've all between us have got too many stories to tell about discrimination, casual racism, and all the things in between. And that's not right. And I think, like, especially kind of the area we live in, it's like, growing up, like, I thought half caste was an okay thing to say, and it's like that casual thing where you think, like, it's okay, like, it's not a big deal. But then you get older and you realise it isn't okay. But then I know it's not okay because my mum is black. But if white people, they don't know it's okay, they're going to keep saying it, and it's just kind of like continuing that cycle, like with hateful words like chink and things like that. If people aren't told that it's wrong, they're going to keep saying it, and you only really get the education from the experience of, like, an adult telling you that it's wrong. But if they don't have it to a figure in their life, they're just going to keep saying it and think that nothing's wrong with it, and it's just upsetting. It's so awful.
I also think carry on.
No, I was going to say, like, what we also need is, like, the people who are saying these things without kind of realizing they're bad, they need to have an open mindset to it. Because if they're closed-minded, they're just going to keep saying it to annoy us. So, like, we need to find a way to make sure they have an open mindset before we try and, like, teach them that it's not okay. Because otherwise, it's just going to go over their head and they're just going to ignore it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it kind of comes back to that point of casual racism that we mentioned, that it's racism is kind of so ingrained in the country that we live in and in our society. People will make casual jokes. Like, I know I have lost count of the amount of times I've heard people make jokes at the expense of other people regarding their race and stuff. And people, you know, play it off. Oh, it's just a joke. It's not that serious. But I think it's like you wouldn't joke about things like rape, because it's not the kind of thing to joke about. It has huge weight that people don't really understand. And if you're making jokes about it, then you clearly don't understand the consequences of it. And it kind of, as we say, like with the political leaders, it creates the domino effect. Because imagine being a genuinely racist person and hearing someone make a joke and you think, oh, okay, I can joke about racist people. I can make racist jokes and I can blow it out.
Yeah, because the leader of the free world's doing it. So why can't I?
Yeah. it's just like facilitating it and accommodating these attitudes. So I think one of the ways we can really try to, well, obviously we can't stamp it out for good, but one of the ways we could really try and encourage more positivity is to just call out casual racism wherever you see it. Like if it's in the home and your, I don't know, if your dad or your mum or your brother makes a joke like that, if one of your friends does it, don't be afraid to call them out and say, look, that's not okay, you know?
Definitely.
I can put my hand up and say, like, I've kind of made jokes about myself because people have said those jokes to me. I think subconsciously you kind of like say, oh, if I play it off as a joke, so will they. So then it doesn't really affect you as much, but then it's still there, it's still ingrained. So like that, I put my hands up, like say I shouldn't have done that, but like it's something that obviously needs to change, like with everyone. Like I'm sure everyone's made jokes about themselves, or like maybe not other people, but more than likely themselves, about something that they see about themselves that is different almost, and they can play it off as a joke to try and like lower the effects of it, kind of, so just make it more like a positive effect, make people laugh, as opposed to like obviously aggressive intent. So yeah, that's something that I personally also need to change.
I found myself doing that with jokes that people make about me, and you know, they'll make a joke about my background, I'm half Sikh, and then I kind of like get in on the joke, and then there are times when I've tried to say, look, this upset me a little bit, this, I don't find that okay, can you not make that joke? And it's come back at me, oh, but you made a joke about it, oh, but you played it off as funny. I'm like, but it's, why are you saying those things in the first place? It's,
but like 8 out of 10 times you do that, you're doing it to protect yourself from confrontation, like from an uncomfortable situation. Because like, let's say in class, if someone makes that joke, it's not really the time and place you can be like, can you not say that? Because it's going to, might make a scene. So you've kind of got to brush it off until there's a time that you can. And it's unfair if you kind of like hold it over someone's head and be like, oh, well, you said this, you made a joke about this, because it's a situation. If you think about the situation, you think, oh, well, I wouldn't actually want to get up and tell you that's really rude. And if you could do that again, we're going to, I'm going to have another conversation about it with you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just like, it's upsetting that like we have to do that to make it like okay, and it's like a situation we can go about in, but it's not fair for people to then say, oh well, you blooming, you said this as well.
Well, it's defensive, isn't it?
So thank you guys for listening today. Thanks Owen for coming along and being our guest, you know, having, sharing your own experiences is really useful for us to all talk about it. So thank you for that. And if you go to our website, gyg.com.uk,
giftedyounggeneration.co.uk,
there we go.
Where we'll get more videos.
Yeah, we're going to upload them to there. So it's all going to be living there. And next week, we're going to be talking about casual racism and having a discussion with that. So yeah, thank you very much. And hope you join in next week.
Thanks.
Bye.
Right. Bye. Bye.